case you want to move this up and down and back.
That's good. One that's stiff so that if I lay on it, it won't fall over. Anyways, good morning. I want to say something about the war. I was just a boy when it ended. And in World War II, $1,031,902 male Canadians and 49,963 female Canadians served us. All went over there. That's a lot of people. 44,000 died and 53,000 were wounded. 808,271 were prisoners of war. 1,146 merchant seamen died by the enemy actions. I remember hearing about the war ending and all the rejoicing when I was a boy on the way home from school. And as time went on, I knew a neighbor who was just 3 miles from us, who was with his brother in the war, and he saw his own brother blown to bits. And there were times when you'd meet him and he would just be in another world. He was still in the shock of it for years. He would just stare off into space and you try to talk to him and he couldn't hear you. I had a cousin, again as a boy. We as relatives, my mother's sister and her husband and their family lived 6 miles from us. And for Christmas, we'd go to their place and they'd come to ours. And we went with horse in a sleigh the 6 miles and back. Anyways, this young fella came to our home. He was already grown. He was going to the army or to the war. And he came on horseback and he had lunch with us. And he went outside and he put his hand on the horse and jumped right over and landed on the other side of the horse. That's how physically active the young fellow was. He came back, and in the war, he lost both his legs. They were blown off below the knee, and gangrene set in. Then they came, and they cut them off, and he could go in his hands and his stumps. And I remember was given legs, and he learned how to walk, and he'd have to, with canes, the steel legs, and it would with springs and stuff, and he would not give up. And he married, had a couple of children. I could tell you more about him, but in 15 years, a piece of shrapnel got loose from the wounds, went into his heart and killed him. You know, war is a terrible thing. And we need to, from time to time, thank God for those who've given us this freedom. And as an older person, as I watch our own nation and the states and Europe disintegrate morally and God is turned away, my heart is heavy because God will come and spank us. All down through history, Israel, every time they turned away from him, he punished them in return and brought them back. Now, whether he's going to do that now, I don't know. Now, lest you think I'm an old stick in the mud, I'm going to tell you a story. This tie has a little story. I like it. And I wore it in a church I pastored for many years. And there was a young girl there, about 5, 6 maybe. And her mother used to do shorthand for me. She'd come and I'd write letters and she'd do them and type them up for me. But anyways, after the service that I wore this tie, little girl stood on my shoes and rocked back and forth with her hands, and she says, "Pastor, where did you get that Hutterite tie?" So next Sunday when I got up to preach, I said, you know, I wore the tie again, and I said, you know, there was a young lady who stood on my shoes and rocked back and forth, and one of her parents, I think, must have told her that this was a Hutterite tie. Of course, the husband's pointing at his wife. I got even, see? Okay, let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. Majestic and glorious, and we exalt you. We pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and by the power of your Spirit, you'd use my simple words through your word as I attempt to explain them to bless our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And if you don't have a Bible, for goodness sake, sell your shirt and buy one. That's what I used to tell the Africans. And I'm going to read just four verses for you from the New English King James. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now I'm going to talk about being a disciplined soldier of Jesus Christ. Before I get too far, I'm going to say this a little bit. You know, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you stand, the way you do everything should be in a response to the King. Because we are His. Every one of us who are born again, we've been washed in His blood, declared His son, His daughter. And I remember a fella, Sidlow Baxter, I heard him preach a number of times. A real Englishman who was very articulate in his words and everything he did. He said, the way you put a stamp on an envelope reveals to me your character. We're living in a lazy, give-in world as never before. I want to do this, and I'm going to do it. And I'm here to, listen, discipline yourself. Do it as a young man, a young girl. Do it as we as adults. Stand straight. It's easier to give in. No, it isn't. Stand straight. Now, having read those verses, Paul uses this letter to young Timothy to instruct him how to handle persecution from the secular world, secular authorities, and the dissensions and deception from within the church. He also encourages young helpers to overcome his natural fear and timidity and to boldly proclaim the gospel, even if it means he will suffer for doing so. Three things I want to touch on in these four verses are, my son, be strong in the grace of God. Two, my son, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, my son, don't get entangled with earthly things. I could put daughters in there, my daughter, my son. I deliberately entitled my thoughts today with the word discipline, a word that is so necessary when there is so much undisciplined and soft living. My son, number one, be strong in God's grace. Chapter 2, verse 1. Here is a little illustration of the word son. Timothy was not Saul's physical son. He was son by spiritual birth. In Africa, I used to go and spend 5 days preaching, teaching in every 10 chiefs' area. So I had 10 five-day conferences in the dry season, and I tried to do 10 in the rainy season, only for 2 days then, but in the dry season. And there was one chief, the oldest chief. He was probably in his 70s or 80s when I went there. And he would always come and listen to me preach. And at the end of the 5 days, if I did a summary, he'd know my point, every point in all five of my messages. And as a chief, he didn't know how to read or write. But in order to listen to the problems of his people, he had to hear all the details from all the sides, and he could retain it. You know what he called me? When I'd go with the people, all of them, and we'd all get on our knees and clap in unison. Whoa, 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 whoa. And he'd say something, and we'd clap again. And when you left, you always backed away. You never turned your butt to the chief. Anyways, I'd be backing away with him, and he'd send one of his aides. He'd go pick him up, and he'd bring me, and he'd have me sit right beside him. We'd shake hands, and we'd talk sometimes for half an hour or more. You know what he called me? My grandchild. I was his grandchild. And you know, I felt greatly honored that he would do that. Well, as time went on, he's getting old. He had a bad way of being nasty in his words. And his wife left him. And the church was afraid, the church leaders, to talk to him. So they asked me if I'd go and talk to him. Well, I went in fear and trembling, and I got on my knees before him, and he's sitting in his big chair, and I had one other elder with me. And I said, "Vamfamu, I hear that you want your wife to come back." He says, "Yes, I do." I said, "But I can't ask her to come back." He could have thrown me out of his country. I said, "Vamfamu, you need to ask God to forgive you for the way you've treated your wife, the nasty, bitter things you've said to her and hurt her with." And I thought, wow, he's going to really get angry at me. But he broke into tears, and he asked God to forgive him. To make a long story short, then I went down the road to where his wife was living, several miles away. And at first, "No way, I'm not going back to him." And she cried and cried. And I prayed with her. I asked her, I said, "I leave it with you. I want you to do what God tells you to do." I left, and within a few days, she had gone back to him. And they lived together till he passed away. But you know, if you're led by God's Spirit and you're obedient to him, even in this country, God will use you. But you've got to be obedient to him. You've got to walk with him. Furthermore, Paul says to his son in the faith, be strong in God's grace. Now let's look at that just a little bit. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul loved that word, grace. He loved all three of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. All through his writings, he uses these names because they all have a distinct meaning, and someday someone needs to preach on those three different names and what they mean. But anyways, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is grace? I'll give you a simple definition. It's the action of a superior being to an inferior. The chief, the king, has the power to be gracious and kind. It's very difficult for you as an inferior to be kind and gracious to them, but it's important that he be that to you. Paul here charges Timothy to be strong in the grace that Christ has not only given him, but listen carefully, but is available to him to rely on and live in. You know, through Christ Jesus, we have a power that's not ours, it's his. But we have to render to him the humble submission and obedience, no matter what he tells us to do. And God has done that many times in my life. And still to do it. I remember preaching at a camp. There were 59 young people there. And it went on for 10 days. And when I'd finished the last message I gave, no, pardon me, it was on a Thursday night. And we're on the side of a hill overlooking the lake, had a fire there. And I preached, and the service was interrupted by somebody in the canoes out on the lake. And I turned to them and I said, you know, would you just listen to me for a few minutes and I'll be finished. A little bit more, and I thought, oh God, where are you? I sat down. And the camp director, he and I never said another word till 2 o'clock in the morning. God took over. The tears that were shed, the sin that was confessed, was absolutely amazing. And he got up, the camp director, and he says, we're getting cold, and we were. The wood was all burnt. We'd keep shoving the sticks in. And he said, this is the highlight of this camp. No, he said, this is the highlight of my life. I've never sensed the presence of God. And I could say the same thing as we did that evening. God at work. Back in chapter 1 and verse 7, there's another little verse there. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hasn't cut you short. You may feel weak and insignificant and afraid, but God can give you the strength to speak and to testify and to witness for him. My dear brothers and sisters, the grace of power is available to you. I encourage you, as Paul did to Timothy, use what God has given you to both live and witness for him, to live a holy life, to witness for him. God will not use a dirty vessel. He'll only pour his spirit into a clean vessel and use it. Thirdly, my son, don't get entangled with earthly things. I'm just going to touch on a couple. There's many things could be mentioned. How entangled are you in the earthly things around you? What about your thought life? What's going on in your thoughts? Psalms 139 verse 2 says, God understands our thoughts afar off. God knows what you're going to think before you even think it. Satan doesn't. He knows your weakness, Satan does. And he keeps going after you at your weak spot. But God knows your thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we are commanded to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ through the obedience of Christ. Wow. Psalms 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinketh or a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. Your thought life. I move on to another one. That's, how about our time? How do you use your time? Or you say, I'm busy. We Canadians are really busy, 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 busy. Are you? Yeah, I go. Spend 8 hours at work, maybe an hour going to work and coming home, and I sleep 8 hours. What do you got left? Eight. What do you do with it? You spend a lot of time on that do-do-do thing, you know. Do you watch television? Yeah. Oh, I like watching television. Sports. oh, all sorts of stuff. And we go to bed about 11 o'clock, and I just can't get up in the morning to have a quiet time with the Lord because I'm too busy. You know, if you want to be able to get up in the morning, go to bed early. Get out of that habit of being late. Because listen, your life is His life, and He wants to live through you and make you a fruitful blessing and anoint you with His Spirit. Now I come to one more. What is the most valuable thing that you possess? Is it your spouse? Whew. Pretty nice. He's a wonderful guy. She's a wonderful lady. Oh. Is that your most valuable thing? Is it your children? Boy, they're pretty precious too. Wonderful. Is it your house? Is it that big truck, you know, thundering along? No. What is it? It's this. This book. The most valuable physical thing you will ever possess is God's spoken through His prophets and His apostles to you, to me. And it's His way of talking to us. That's why you need to listen to Him talk to you every day. Because He wants to. He loves you. But He wants you to love Him. Spend time with Him. Being a disciplined soldier of Jesus Christ is what our journey is all about. I lost the most precious person in my life. God says, get up and go on. You don't quit. I still have something for you to do. Well, you young people, you adults, get up and go on. Serve Him with a glad heart. I want to read those verses again to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who enlisted him as a soldier. Amen. Father, we pray that you take your word and cause it to live in our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brother Ken.